I am. I don't know if you're live on BBS yet.
Mm-hmm. We should hear the music when we get live, shouldn't we?
Hey, Rin.
Yeah.
Good evening and welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is VC in Burbank.
Hi, VC. Welcome to the call. How are you doing tonight?
Never better. Glad to be here.
All right. All right. Thanks for being here, man.
If we were in the 60s, we'd have to think you were the Viet Cong, right?
Well, I like to think of myself as very conscious.
Okay.
You know what? I think of myself as very corny.
Well, I was shooting for very cute, but I didn't quite get there.
Okay.
No. Thank you. Thank you. I don't think you're qualified for that.
Well, when he did not see your picture yet.
Well, you never know. Probably. Yeah.
But I think we're live on BBS, by the way.
Yeah, those of you that are listening on BBS, this is our conference call. We just kind of introduce people and say hello to them for the first 5 minutes. This is Win Free. Or, hi, Minderhaus. Minderhaus, is that right?
Minderhaus.
Minderhaus. What does that mean if you translate it?
It's a city in Belgium. It stands for less wood, less lumber.
Less lumber. So that's when they were building, using bricks for the first time, right?
Possibly so, yes.
If your father was a bricklayer, or your great-great-grandfather, and he was advertising his craft in your name, right?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
But hey, we have more people join in. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the BBS call. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Donna, Great Falls, Montana.
Hi, Donna. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Pretty good. It's so good to be here tonight.
Oh, well, thanks for being here.
Hi, this is
I've
got a terrible voice. This is
Jennifer
in Minnesota.
Hello, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Jennifer
from
Seattle. Hey,
yep.
From Seattle. Is it Wayne?
Yes, it's Wayne.
All right, welcome to the call, man.
Yeah, you know the story.
Yeah, I know, yes. And more people have joined in. Welcome to the call, everybody. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi, this is David in Mason.
How are you, David?
I called Floyd.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I got hung up on Floyd.
Yeah, David.
Hung up on? Uh-oh.
We've been talking about
yeah,
that. Last name.
Is it something about moderator disconnected the call?
Oh, you might have done that.
That might have,
I didn't
do it.
All right.
No.
You know what? We're
oh, your
about,
fault, Wayne.
We're talking about last names. And, you know, Heiss's way. I'm not going to make fun of anyone unless I like them. So, David, get ready.
Am I DePetto?
Heiss's last name is Minderhaus. Right? Minderhaus.
With a D at the end. Minderhaus.
Minderhaus. Which means no lumber. And so we were figuring that maybe his great-great-great-great-grandparents were the first to introduce bricks. And they were using their last name as an advertisement since they didn't have the internet anymore. So they said, no lumber, okay? So I was looking at David's last name, and David's last name is a grunt. Now, what do you think that means?
Of relating to fields.
Field?
Agro, agriculture.
Oh, it's agriculture. It doesn't mean you grunt all the time.
Yeah, A-G-A-G-R.
The AGR, the first three letters, are agro, which is a prefix for of relating the fields in the dictionary. And my family were all farmers.
I gotcha. Okay, super. Back to Hives. Go ahead,
Hives. Welcome, everybody. This is the BBS call, and please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Lucy from Orlando, Florida.
Lucy, welcome.
I heard you in earlier, and you went wonderful. You did a good job.
Great, thank you. And more people have joined.
Those guys were tough, weren't they, Lucy?
Yes, they were.
Yes.
That's
yes, they were.
Chicago.
They did great.
Yeah, I thought they were tough, but I think they were very authentic, and I think I handled it really well. I really like them both. They're really cute. I saw their pictures.
Did you watch them online when they interviewed you?
You couldn't see them online, could you, while they were interviewing
yeah,
me?
Yeah, yeah, you could. There was a live audio feed. That's what I went to, because I was like, okay, we're going to. I went to a live audio feed, and you can watch them, interview you. It gives you an opportunity to see their movements. Are they buying it? Are they not? Are they, ignoring you?
Yeah, no, I didn't watch them.
Yeah. It was interesting. It was a good call.
Thank you.
It was a great way of
walking
them in.
Yeah, I just heard somebody from Chicago who's not watching the Bears, amazingly. Welcome for being here, and we had more people join in. Welcome, everybody. Please say your name and location.
This is Ron in Mountain Grove.
Ron, good evening. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Wonderful Missouri, right? Missouri?
Right.
Missouri accent.
And more people join in. More names, please.
This is Donna from Kingman. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Welcome to the call. And there are so many more of you. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Lonnie in Dallas.
Hello, Lonnie. Welcome to the call.
Well, it's kind of sparse tonight. There was only 16 when I came in just a couple minutes ago. I guess they're watching the Prez.
Is the president on tonight?
Yep.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Is it Lisa from San Francisco?
No, Lisa from Mission Viejo.
All right. Welcome to the call.
Well, thank you.
So you're in the mission tonight.
I'm all good. So I listened in on just one other, but I didn't get it at the start. So when do I put it on mute?
You don't
have to worry
about
it.
Six.
Okay.
Actually, if you have background noise, please mute yourself, but press the star six. But in a little bit, all the lines will be muted.
Okay. I'll go ahead and do that now. Okay. Thank you.
Right. You're welcome.
Hello. We love you. Hi, Jerry.
Hello. Welcome to the call. Who's this from Monterey?
You're the moderator. We love you.
All right.
Just listen clear to me. Yes.
Somebody said they love you.
They love me.
We love you. You're a good moderator.
Have something in common.
I'm so glad people are loving you, okay? I always love
you. All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Well, we have shy people tonight. That's fine.
I'm Solon from Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right, welcome to the call.
Hi there. This is Terry.
Hello, is it?
Hi.
Terry, how are you doing, Terry?
All right.
Hey, Terry.
Hey.
I've been
getting
you
by today.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Now, I think Terry is the most lovable one of all of us. Oh, nobody's agreeing.
Well, I want to ask everybody if you love Terry, say I do. Who loves Terry?
I do.
Love that.
Terry, we did love.
Terry, we love you.
That's nice to me.
She's one of the easiest people in the world to love.
And you know, she's still getting over her flu. Let's just send her waves of love.
Send her all the healing love, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very thankful for what you're doing for us, Terry. This is awesome. And Vin, too, man.
Yeah, she's earning her angel wings.
Now, my problem is I can feel controlled by love. That's why I'm so ornery.
Yeah. That's funny.
And I gotta make sure I don't do anything to please anybody, because that'll screw me up.
All right, Vin, it's, I think, time to mute the lines and get going.
All right. Thank you, Harry.
Okay.
And then start our recording?
Yeah, let me just do this. We'll mute everybody. We will start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
And this is, what date? This is October 22nd, 2012. This is our Monday night call. And we're going to do something different tonight. I guess we're always doing something different. But tonight, I invited Hives to come in. Let me just mute those tones. Okay, now we got no entry and exit chimes. I invited Hives to work with myself and Terry and to be a co-moderator with us. But we're playing a replay, and, you know, it's been... Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
How many years do you think we've been doing Monday night calls without taking a night off?
Let's see. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11...
12 years? No, not...
5 years.
5 years?
Yeah.
5 years we have been doing Monday night calls, and we've never taken a Monday off. And actually...
6 years.
6 years.
6 years.
I actually really enjoy doing them. So I don't really need to take a day off, except right now we're moving into spaces where I feel for the moment I have an important thrust going out and doing a lot of talk shows, like we're just starting to do, because people are being open to me to do that. And it's been a long, long time for that to occur, for me to be able to figure out how to be credible enough so that people would take me seriously. And I give George Norrie a huge, huge thank you for and his producer, Lisa. Lisa in particular, because she's the one that made the choice to have me on. And, you know, for the way it seemed to me is people were scared to have me on because I was too controversial. And what were their audiences think? And how about the religious people that listen? And I think that we have blazed a path and we've shown how important people are finding this work, and in truth, in general, it doesn't really conflict with religion, unless you're totally fundamentalist, then it might, because we're going to do a replay tonight, and Hives, you're helping, right?
I do my best.
What would you say? Well, We're gonna do a replay tonight, and I remember when I did this show, I was a little nervous about putting it up because, personally, I like to avoid going anywhere
that creates me, puts me in direct confrontation with traditional belief systems. And yet, in many ways, our work is not contrary to the traditional belief systems, but it's a higher octave overlay that bring clarity where there might have been a lot of mystery about things. And if you notice, in general, I avoid asking our sources to clarify certain of the mysteries of religion, because people ask those questions all the time, and I don't know if they would even answer the questions, but I don't think it's a good idea to do that publicly, because many people are using those systems successfully. Not everyone is using them successfully, but many people are using them successfully. And the particular linear truth of how something happened or what really happened is not nearly as important as, are you making a resonance with Jesus or the sources? Are you feeling a connection? That's what's important, not the specifics of, is this true? Did Jesus die on the cross? Did they revive him afterwards? Blah, 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 blah. All those kinds of questions that people might think that we could historically shed some light on, which I don't want to do. That's not why I want to be out there. I want to be out there because we help you make connection to the higher realms, in what I believe to be the positive higher realms. And according to so many of the emails we get, it's beyond our wildest expectations the kinds of experiences people are having as a result of listening to our calls. And everything from kind of having certain kinds of epiphanies about how it all connects to healings to God knows what. You know, I'm going to take a moment here. I'll read a couple of things. I hope if you're one of the people that sent me these, it's okay. I didn't ask everyone for permission. But this is from Deb in New Jersey, and she said she listened to the last 85 minutes of your webcast, which I guess was on Sunday, and this was the first time I listened to you during the daytime. About a half an hour after the show, I went for my daily two-mile race walk. On a typical day, this takes about 35 minutes, and longer on a cold winter day. Yesterday, I did it in 32 minutes, which is the fastest time this year. But today, I went so much faster. I finished a smidge over 30 minutes, 2 miles in 30 minutes, and she hasn't gone that fast in years. A decade ago, I could do a 14-minute walk, a 14-minute mile, but I have slowed down considerably with age and arthritis and mercury poisoning, and I believe that positive feedback brings you joy, so I thought I would share this with you. I don't think it was coincidence that I could go so much faster after experiencing the energy from your program. And here is an email from, let me see here. Here's a good one. This is from a fellow named Brian. And I was deeply moved with Sunday's call, which I was on. A tickling feeling about 3 feet above my head was present. Before you inferred I would feel something, my aura system was breathing, I would say, in the very least. And by the way, did you guys notice when I said that, a shift in the energy? You see, they're tracking us. They're tracking everything we say. When I say something like that, they say, okay, well, that's our cue to put some energy into the mix. My aura system was breathing, I would say, in a statewide radius, means I could feel the source light pulsing outside my state of Nebraska from 12 inches outside of myself. right after you guided the light back in and into the earth, it was like a white glowing cocoon pulsing in such distances as Des Moines and the borders of eastern Wyoming, and with a dinner plate 3D shape over the plains. Now, of course, if I listened to something like that, I'd say, how does this guy know how big his thing is? Or how big he's expanding, I should say. I'm going to get in trouble the way I said that. How much is expanding? But then this happened. Check this out, brother. Now, this is the one that is the amazing thing. Those of you, let me just make a comment before I read this. You know what Real Player is? It's like a certain audio player that when you click on certain things, it comes up on your computer. And it's got a certain color. It's always the same color. So this guy was listening to our call, and his Real Player started changing colors while he was listening. And he actually took a video, a picture of this off of his screen, and the video player turned to pink, the same shade of pink that's in my picture when the Elohim surrounded me and said it was them. Some of you have seen that. So he shared the picture, and it's kind of amazing. And here's another one. Hi, Wynn. Don't know if you will ever read this, but a few nights ago I started reading your free book, as mentioned on Coast to Coast, and for some reason I began to have a terrible stomach pain, which would not cease, almost to the point of throwing up. I decided to invoke the aid of the Elohim, and to my surprise, within 15, all the pain and discomfort subsided, and I asked that I was heard. And here's another one from Chris. Here's from Maradi. Add one more amazing healing to your list. My sister has recovered and will be discharged home today. The bleeding resolved, and all her blood work was back to normal within 24 hours. That's an amazing recovery time, and perhaps a downright miracle. I am so grateful. Thank you. Love, 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 Maradi. Well, I mean, I get those all the time. And I just want to say, if you're hearing me say this, I am not doing anything other than showing up. I am not healing people. I would be scared to be healing people. I get so many people emailing me thinking that all they have to do is ask me to ask the Elohim to fix them, and they'll get fixed. But those of you that are on our calls, particularly our Sunday call, there's these moments where we have silence and they can look at you. They can tune into you if you would like that. And you can ask them yourself. You don't need me. I'm just showing up. They're just showing up. You're just showing up. And so the key to this is, can you open to the frequencies? And that being said, Hives is helping me today. I'm trying to figure out how to get your help, Hives. I'll get you to start the recording and see if that works.
I'll pick over as soon as you lose your voice.
what we're doing, one day I'm not going to be talking and Hives will be talking. So he's going to do a good job, though, from his own space. You know,
Hives might turn into a comedy, though.
It might turn into a comedy. I started out doing this because I used to not like to show up on time. In fact, every time I would do a call, it would be, oh, geez, I have to do this call. We have to do this call tonight. And I had made the commitment, and I would always show up like on the hour or a couple of minutes after. And Hives was noticing this pattern, and he would come on and start saying hello to everybody while I was sitting there trying to avoid showing up. Because in those days, the calls were not as easy as they are now. You know, I was not a season. I was not confident. I said, people are going to think we're crazy. You can't really do this publicly, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I would keep showing up and doing them. As Terry said, we've been doing it for 5 years. And suddenly, people believe us. You know,
if we're actually, if you really pay attention, it's pretty believable. How do you explain all these situations? But nonetheless, it's like we are working, building consciousness. We're not building belief, we're building consciousness. But your mind has to be open to the possibility that this is real as a first step. Otherwise, you don't hear us from where we're coming from. You hear us inside your own room of projections. And that's the way it felt for a very long time. People kept hearing us inside their own space. And it would filter in instead of move to a new place. And it took you guys keeping coming into the calls to ground the energy to the point where we can do this so effortlessly now. And you have helped anchor a shift of something into the collective just by showing up. Now, Heise could probably comment on this because he's been on the calls for how long have you been on? A few years now, right?
Yeah, I was in 09 when I joined.
So you can see the shift in the consciousness that's happening on the calls over time, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it started very small and things getting smoother and things getting bigger and getting more beautiful.
It's not just the size. It's not just that it was small. I mean, what was small? 10 to 20 people. It's like,
well, the energy too. I mean, it's different. It feels a lot bigger right now.
Yeah. If you remember, I would have to talk for like 15 minutes sometimes before the energy would come in. That's how it felt to me, you know? And I would just talk about anything. I mean, I would just, you know, talk about interesting ideas. But I couldn't get the energy to come in right at the beginning of the call. It would happen somewhere into it. And people would get angry because they'd say, "Wynn, why don't you shut up and let Terry channel?" But what they didn't understand was that until the energy came in, she couldn't channel. It wouldn't have been appropriate to have her channel because she channels, she talks to the energy that's on the call. She doesn't come. It's like it's us talking to ourselves through Terry. Am I right, Terry? Uh-oh. Unmute university. Are you there, Terry?
Yeah, I was muted.
Oh, my God. I was like, how did I know?
Well, it's like they come in and they talk and they have relevant things to say. And it's like I'm coupled in with them and then I relay what they're saying.
Now, Terry, does it happen that they tell you, "Hey, please, let Wynn shut up, let us talk"?
No, they never say that.
Okay,
never. No.
And may I ask, how do you feel it? Does it like slowly come or all of a sudden they're there?
Like they lock in around my crown chakra and it's like it's like a vapor lock or something around my crown chakra. And then they start showing me the colors of pink. And if I've got something going on, they might send loving energy so that it dissipates while I'm on the call, so that it doesn't interfere or intrude, and until their energy is entirely there. And then I usually feel very much better after the call.
You always did with your eyes closed?
I think a lot of the time I have my eyes closed. Every now and then I might open them, but I'm not too aware of whether they're closed or open, but I think they're mostly closed.
You saw the pictures of Terry, I think, at the some of the live events we've done, and how expressive she is. It's just mind-blowing.
Yeah, they start waving the hands, gesturing, like as if to emphasize what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. So, nonetheless, I announced we're going to do a replay, and now I think we're having such a good time talking, but I think I should still do the replay and go through it, because I thought this was an important replay. We're approaching December 21st, 2012, and many people have a lot of anticipation about that. You know, there's a lot of prophecies. There's Edgar Cayce, of course, who... Now, this was in the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, where the Ra group corrected, through Wilcock, the Cayce prophecy that said this great devastation prophecy of Japan falling into the sea, California falling into the sea. I can't remember, but this, he said it was going to happen in the blink of an eye. And that when I had studied Edgar Cayce, I remember that prophecy really impacted me. And there was another prophecy that said, somewhere else in Edgar Cayce, these things will happen gradually. And I read both of those, and I said, why, in one case, did they say in the blink of an eye, and in the other case, they said these things would happen gradually? And I found out, through Wilcock, they said that the devastation prophecy came from a negative source, and that they tried to remediate it or correct it, and they said these things will happen gradually, but the other prophecy is the one that got famous. That's why I say all the time to never let your guard down with channelings, including ours. And even occasionally through ours, there's something that comes through, and I'll usually give my opinion if I think it's negative afterwards. Something can mitigate, come in, and say it's the Elohim, but how do you know it's the Elohim? And in general, I think our intent is so high, and Terry, if she gets something she's not sure of, she'll ask them three times, could you repeat that, please? Could you repeat that? And it has to do with the tuning. If you tuned into the right frequency, you get the right source. If it's just the voice that's talking, it may not be the right source. So the tuning is crucial. And if you wonder what the tuning is, it's exactly what we do on these calls. We tune to the frequency. We don't have to have them channeling to feel their presence, as many of you have learned. And sometimes I can talk for the whole hour, and the energy is present. And the call that we're going to replay, and we can go over tonight, BBS is allowing us to do this. I personally...
Let me tell you something, Wynn, quick, because you mentioned December 21st, now being the big date, sort of, but that is actually, it's actually the 22nd is the first new day of
okay,
the new energies, right?
Yeah, now on the Sunday grid healing, I actually asked the question, what's going to happen on December 21st? Should we be concerned? And they answered it. And what did they say, Heise? You remember?
You know, it remains pretty much the same. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. No changes. It's but then you know, it is an energetic change. Nothing, and you know, you won't see any devastation or blooming or anything. It's just, you know, a day like yesterday. But
well, essentially,
then, you know,
we're in the middle of the shift right now, and it's like.
Yeah.
Summer changing into fall. It's a gradual change. Maybe on that particular day that it changes, there'll be something a little more dramatic, and maybe not. And in general, it is what they said was it was the end of a cycle and the beginning of a new cycle. It wasn't the death of a cycle. It was a shift. Just as on December 31st, we start a new cycle of a new year. Just that this is a 75,000-year cycle. Now, I did a whole talk last November on Revelations, and I drew the conclusion, and I did not want to channel this because I don't want our sources to be, in general, I don't want them to be correcting Scripture. So I took that onus for myself, and I felt like I was really stepping out. I wasn't sure I wanted to do it, but I did it anyway, because I had looked at Revelations, and I decided that that was not from Jesus. It was from somewhere else. And I want to share with you all the things that I came up with to back up that conclusion. And we're going to run the rerun of that call on, I think it was November 5th, 2011. And because so many people have so much anxiety about what's coming up, and I will say, it's okay to have a little anxiety about finances and economics, because that is very unstable. It's okay to have anxiety about things that the ruling powers do, because they may not always have positive agendas. But thinking that there's some horrible event coming down that's delegated by God into this realm is not something to have anxiety about. And in fact, if you really get the gist of our work and you really get the energy of it, you don't even have to have anxiety about dying, because you may as well get over that now, because it's just a transformation. You know, imagine that you could come into this realm and go back into spirit and come in and go back and come in, go back and just have fun. Well, you can. And dying is the way that works. And we've had lots and lots of questions and answers about that. And so we're
then they need to start the recording in the next minute, else we run into the 8 o'clock here.
All right. Well, Hive, go ahead, and I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, I want to give a heads up. The recording we're going to start here next is 1 hour and 18 minutes. So enjoy the show.
This is Monday, December 5th, and my name is Wynn Free, and you're on our Monday night conference call. And I think I heard, Terry, did I hear you in there? Okay, you're a little low. Can you put the microphone closer to you?
Okay, how about that? Is that better?
That's much better. Okay, and you know, I announced a topic tonight. I'm going to do something a little different. You know, we do these calls every Monday, and those of you that are regulars know that we pick a topic, and I have voices talking to me, and instead of being carried away by people in white coats, I ended up having a call every Monday. And if you've read my book, The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe, I want to talk to you. You know, it's a fairly compelling story, and I always tell people, don't believe anything. Don't particularly just because it's channeled, just because they say they're creator gods. Don't believe that just because we state it, say it. Believe it when you come to it yourself. In other words, if you listen to them, if it sounds like it makes sense, if you hear my story, everyone has to evaluate whether it's positive or negative. It certainly is real because there's too many phenomena attached to it. And it took me 3 years of having these conversations to come to the conclusion that they were who they said they were. And that to understand the value of putting this into the world. And I tell people, again I say this, the important thing is not to believe anything in your mind. Believing things in your mind is one of the ways that the world has gotten screwed up. Because you have to know something past the mind, and it's not even enough to believe it because it feels right or it feels good in your heart. That's a good start. It's a good start as a level of discernment. But there should be evidence. And this is what I've learned, at least in my personal case. There was so much evidence that it was real. And the purpose of this particular call tonight is not to present that evidence, but it's available in my book, in my two books. One of the most interesting, I'll say one piece of evidence, I'll call it evidence, and it's just things which seemed to prove the case. One of the things that was like a great exclamation point for me was, of course, I started writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I learned that people tend to look like their past lives. Now, if you're on this call and you have no belief in past lives, just go along with me for a moment, because it takes a lot to come to a conscious understanding that maybe it works this way. And I can talk for hours, and sometime I will, and you're welcome to listen in. But in general, when you die, your DNA imprint is held in what I call the soul matrix. And when the soul comes into a new body, it programs the DNA of the past lifetime. So, according to theories of reincarnation, people tend to look like their past lifetimes. And you tend to meet the same people, but you always come into this life with a blank mind. You don't remember anything. So, unless you happen to be famous, and unless there's other evidence connecting you to somebody, then this bit of information is not that important. Except for me, it was very important, because I was researching the case of David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce. And I had been very much influenced by Edgar Cayce, and if any of you are listening and have never heard of Edgar Cayce, he was a guy that died in 1945, and for 40 years of his life, he would go into a trance, and voices would come through him, and he was able to diagnose people's illnesses, he was able to recommend alternative cures, he was able to make future predictions, and he was able to tell people who they were in their past lifetimes. And he did 15,000 readings, and many people went to study his readings to prove that he was a fake, and they ended up writing books in support of his work, because he wasn't a fake. The evidence was real. too much evidence proving that he was doing that. But so what? What does that mean for us? Are we going to all read Edgar Cayce and then start another belief system and repeat? Edgar Cayce said this. Edgar Cayce said that. The Elohim said this. The Elohim said that. Those are all not really important. The only thing that's important is, can something help you make a better connection with something that's positive, that's out there, and how can it help you? How can you add it to your life without a belief system? On some level, you have to internalize it. Now, you know, if you were a Christian, somebody would say, well, just have faith. Having faith is okay. It's a good first step because it makes you start looking. And by looking, just the act of looking, increases the chances that you'll find it. But if you just stop at faith, you just have a belief system. And a belief system is not good enough. Because how do you know your belief system is right? If you happen to be of a religious persuasion or have been of a religious persuasion, you'll know that most of the belief systems of most religions usually make their religion superior and others inferior. So you start feeling better than other people. And if you really go the route, you start saying, let's kill them. We're the only chosen people. So, and which belief system is right? Now, I'm obviously having conversations with what I believe to be positive sources in other realms. And they don't really prefer the belief system, other than everything is part of one energy, and we're all subdivisions of it. And they call it the law of one. And when you are able to access this energy, you will then have compassion. You can't help but have compassion because you start seeing everybody as part of yourself. And it doesn't mean you have to be friends. When people are going through really negative things, you may not want to be friends with them, but you can have compassion. Let them go through it. And the people you're meant to connect with will flow towards you and you'll make the connection. Well, this is all a preamble to the topic tonight, which is, what about the Book of Revelation? And the Book of Revelation is a book in the Bible of prophecy. And many traditional Christians believe that it is foretelling the future and that we're in the times right now described by the Book of Revelations. And because of the work I'm doing, I've had a lot of opportunity to try to figure out who Jesus actually was, who actually God is, and what can you trust and what can't you trust. Now, I'm not going to have time on this call to back up and give all the long explanations, the footnotes, where everything came from, but there'll be enough cross-references that if you want to write things down, you can do some of this on the web and do your own references. Let's see. I know we have new people on the line tonight, so I'm trying to give enough backup so that you have the context from which we're talking about. So all those people that have been coming into my calls every Monday, please bear with me because I know you know these things, and I want to make sure the new people on the line know them. Because what I've learned is that in most cases, the major religious events in history were caused because somebody was channeling. What is channeling? That's when a voice speaks through someone else from another dimension, from somewhere else. Well, either there's a voice speaking to them, or they're crazy. So if there's a voice speaking to you from somewhere else, then somehow or another, if you're listening to that voice, whether it's in your own head, or whether it's, in my case, through two women in my life, you have to figure out, can you trust that voice? Why should you trust the voice? Because it's speaking through somebody? If they say they're something, how do you know they are who they say they are? If your wife suddenly woke up and said, "Hi, this is God, and I have a message for you," how would you believe that was true? Well, somehow or another, they'd have to do certain things to convince you. Now, if they convinced you and they said, "We'd like you to share this with other people," you might do it. Then you get a bunch of believers, and you'd say, "Oh, I got a bunch of followers. Isn't that wonderful?" Well, the big problem with the idea of channeling is that I've convinced myself that channeling is real. But how do you know the voice that's talking to you today is the same one that talked to you last week? They could say the same name. "Hi, this is our name." And now, you know, in the physical world, if somebody knocks on my door and says, "Hi, this is John," I know it's John. I know what he looks like. This is in case he's not cloned, because now people say people are getting cloned and you never know who's a clone. But if, assuming he's not a clone, then you recognize John. But when you have a voice speaking to you from someone, how do you know they are who they say they are? And how do you know it doesn't change from one week to the other? One of the things that was coming through David Wilcock, the reincarnation of Edgar Casey, the guy that was the spitting image of Edgar Casey, now that was something that couldn't be faked. If you've ever not seen the picture, you should look it up on the internet. David Wilcock, Edgar Casey. Too close. And his voice was describing who they were. Now, as I first read their communications, my first feeling was, these guys are wise. And they seem to be very caring. They're wise and they're caring. Now, those things you don't have to validate. If somebody tells you something that's wise, you can apply it to your life, and something shifts in your life, you can say, it doesn't matter where that came from. I don't care who's speaking through that guy. There's a lot of wisdom there. If you hear them talk and you feel a tingling sensation in your heart, like your heart's opening up, you don't have to wonder who they are. You can say, I feel this feeling in my heart. You can feel that. So, if they're talking about prophecies, if they're talking about future events, if they're telling you to do things, if they're telling you you're better than someone else, then that's hard to validate. Well, when you get the idea that a voice that's coming through someone may not be the same voice from one week to the next, and that a negative force, a trickster, can take over the line and suddenly say they're the same.
Okay. If they're telling you to do things...
Uh-oh. Somebody had their internet listening. So, you see, you can never give up your power to an external force. You can only co-create. You can always discern. And one of the things is, if somebody is bringing forth a source, you have to look at how sharp they are. Because if they're not sharp, they won't have discernment. And they could switch from one source to another and never know the difference and think they're doing God's work. That's how tricky it is, because the other realms are filled with what we would call negative sources. Sources that want to tap into the energy fields of the planet, of you, of I. And it's very tricky. It's very tricky. But if I didn't go through all the experiences I've gone through for the past 8 years, I think I would be fooled. So, a good portion of the Bible... Oh, I wanted to say one thing. You know, how they were knocking me over the head. And this is only one of many things that convinced me. We're getting some background sounds here. I'm going to do another mute on everybody. So, as I said about David Wilcock, I have learned that people tend to look like their past lifetimes.
Just want to let you know,
and David was David in the age of Edgar Casey. Now, when I say that, you shouldn't believe me. This is stuff you have to research. It wouldn't be right. Well, I convinced myself that I was right, and I can't explain all the things I did on this call, but I did convince myself. And then, 2 years into writing my book, I had a woman in my life suddenly start telling me, those guys want to talk to you. And I have this voice that's predicting newspaper headlines, that's creating a medical miracle with my sister saving her life. And I'm asking all the questions about the Wilcock book to this voice, and they're giving me the same answers. And all of that time that that was happening, especially in the first 6 months, I was asking myself, do I have a trickster entity here, or is this real? They didn't ask me to do anything. They didn't ask me to go out in the world and tell everybody. But they said they were the Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim, and it said a group, didn't say this, said the creator gods of the physical universe. And I had a chance to ask them in a very normal human way. They didn't ask me to genuflect or worship them. In fact, I asked them, do you guys really like to be worshipped? And they said, no. They said, we're available to be your energy friends. We exist. We're in another dimension. We're real, and we can beam into your dimension. But we don't violate people's free will, so they have to ask for us. Well, everything was making sense, but I didn't believe it. I mean, it was very hard for me to believe that I have a woman in my life that's tapping me on the shoulder, saying, those guys want to talk to you, and I'm talking to this group soul that says they created the physical universe, and they were the first breakaway from what they call the one infinite creator. And that they didn't want to be God. They weren't God, except because we could connect to them energetically, they could cause transformations in the physical realm that couldn't happen without that energy connection. And so the woman left me, and my old friend came over to comfort me a few weeks later, waking me up in the middle of the night, and we started coming through her. She's on the line. And we may have them say hello to you through her later in this call. So, when this is like being in a science fiction movie, I have this something in another dimension tracking me through two women, and it took me about another 6 months to a year, 6 months anyway, to say, well, you know what, I think it's the same source coming through Terry as was coming through Ducky. I think it's the same source. And I asked them, was Terry ever anybody famous in a past lifetime? I didn't expect them to answer, but they did. And those of you that are on this line know that Terry's very shy. She's been very great in coming forward, but you can tell in her voice that she's shy and wouldn't normally be a public person. Now, I'm different. I used to be a singer-songwriter, so it's easy for me, easier to be a public person. Well, I asked them, is Terry ever anybody famous? And they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena. And I looked up St. Catherine of Siena, who I never heard of. I assume she was Catholic or connected to Catholicism. And I find this story of a woman, a young woman, who is, I think, 14 years old, in Siena, Italy, in 1300 A.D. And she would go to the local church, and they would write down everything she said because they thought God was speaking to them through her. And St. Catherine's dialogues with God are an official part of Catholic history and recognized by the Vatican. And I'm not saying that's good because I don't believe the Vatican is positive, but they're recognized by the Vatican. And they're still on Amazon, St. Catherine's Dialogues with God. Well, the incredible thing was, Terry was the spitting image of St. Catherine. So, look at the chances of that, that I asked this disembodied voice, was Terry ever anybody famous? She's channeling a voice that say whether it was Elohim, which was the name for God in the Old Testament, and they say, look up St. Catherine, and there's this story of this woman who was going into a church who was channeling God, because they didn't use the word channeling, but nonetheless, it was channeling, and they believed it, and they wrote down everything she said, and Terry was the spitting image of the person. I do have that on a webpage, stcatherine.messageaday.net. I think it's... if any of you want to see that page and can't find it, just email me or I'll email again and put that up. Email me and I'll make sure you get it. So that was a pretty striking blow, confirmation that maybe what I was doing was real. Maybe they were who they said they were. And in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the voice that was speaking to David Wilcock also said it was a good soul, and it was made up of graduates of this realm, souls that had embodiments and physical, and the Buddhist thing is getting off the wheel of reincarnation. Don't believe any of that, but that's just the way the religion says it. And this voice speaking through David Wilcock said that both David and Edgar Cayce both had connected with negative sources. And I believe they used the word trickster entities. And they said that they wanted to correct a prophecy of Edgar Cayce's. If you're familiar with Edgar Cayce, you'll know that he had a prophecy, sometimes called the devastation prophecy, where he said, Europe was going to disappear in the blink of an eye. New York was going down. Tokyo was going down. Japan was going down. And it was going to create worldwide havoc. And what they said through David Wilcock, that prophecy was not them. And that they don't do doom and gloom prophecies. And that was a trickster entity. And so when I went back to the Edgar Cayce files and studied that reading, sure enough, that reading had a name on it, which is Hallelujah, I believe it's him. I don't want to say his name because I don't want to invoke him. But forget it. That's it. If I said it wrong, it's okay. But there were other readings where he came through where he said, I am in the heavens. I am like Christ in the heavens. Or I am in the heavens like Jesus was on earth. So he's really exalting himself and saying, hey, I'm big stuff. Give up your power. And yet, he made this devastation prophecy. Years ago, probably 30 years ago, when I read Edward Casey, I remember that prophecy. And as I read a lot of his stuff, there was another place in the Edward Casey readings where, in a channeling, it was said, these changes will happen gradually. And I remember noting, why are these things different? In one case, it says everything's going to come down like a brick-mortar house. I don't think the right word, a house of cards, whatever. Everything's going to come down in one devastating blow, and the world is going to fall apart, and everything's going to sink into the ocean. And somewhere else it said, these changes will come about gradually. Well, they said to Wilcock, that was them. And the other one was the trickster minister. Well, if you see what I'm leading to the question, any time there is information that comes in from other realms, it has to be suspect. You can't assume that it's the same source. And unless there's the same resonance, you can start to lean in that direction that it might be the same source. But when it suddenly takes a 90-degree turn and is talking quite differently than the original source, you really have to put it to test to see if it's the same source. Now, I remember reading the New Testament years ago, and there were little things that Jesus said that I knew were true because I could validate them in my own life. Like, when two or more are gathered, I am also present. Now, if you come onto these calls often, you will know there are many times that people come together on these calls and there's an energy that comes into the call. And many people feel it. And I would say that's a demonstration of when two or more are gathered. Now, when it says I, does that mean Jesus is present? Well, the cosmic Jesus is present. The energy from the center of the universe, the Father energy is present. There's an energy presence that comes in when people gather for a very high purpose and are reverent. And another one, judge not, lest ye shall be judged. That makes it sound like there is some big meanie up there that's watching you. It says, if you make it a judgment, it's going to come down, punch your finger at you, and say, no. That's not the way it works. The reason you're judged is because everything is one energy. Do you remember I said that earlier? And the highest truth of the universe is the law of one, which means another statement of Jesus, as you do it to another, you do it to yourself. Or treat others the way you want to be treated. I think that's Jesus. In any case, if you judge somebody, you're judging yourself. It's not up to you and me to make somebody wrong. You may not want to know them. You may want to put them in jail. But it's between them and their own creating energy, their own creative force to deal with them, not you and I. Nor can we deal with them. I mean, if you judge somebody, what are you going to do by judging them? You want to go out and hurt them, kill them? think that's going to make it better? And one of the interesting channelings we have, they said, you can't, because it'll just come back. The energy is still in the universe. So the best thing is turn the other cheek and go on with your positive work and let those things that might be negative, and I think if you call something negative, and it doesn't mean you're judging it, it means you're observing it, go their own way. Turn the other cheek. Now, it's my contention that our sources are very much connected with the positive forces that work with Jesus. And they've said many things, not just to me directly, but through Carla Ruckert, through David Wilcock, that all correspond about how they operate, how they function. And their MO is to send loving energy to us from their womb. And if you've never felt that, I would say it's possible. And many people that have come into my conference calls have felt that energy, have felt the sense of lovingness, have opened their hearts. And of course, not only can you feel the energy, but they talk to us. And it's pretty wild. You feel this energy coming into your body. You feel it tingling everywhere. And suddenly Terry is talking. And it's the same consciousness. The energy is that voice. And you make that connection and you put things together. But they're not God in the way religion makes God out to be. They are group consciousness in other dimensions that exists eternally, and we're part of that consciousness. We separated ourselves by being in a physical body. So they have said that they don't do gloom and doom prophecies. They don't create fear. They said, if something creates fear, it's not them. If something particularly is intended to create fear, it's not them. So what does that tell us about God? Well, once you take into the idea that God has been talking to us through channeling, and that how do you tell who is and who isn't? Because a voice comes through somebody and says, this is God. How do you know it's the God? Who is it? How does it work? And it's my take throughout history and throughout the Bible that it's varied. At times, it has been these really high sources that are very loving. That if you go into the Old Testament, there's that psalm that says, to every thing there is a season, a time to do, to talk about, beautifully lyrical, very uplifting. There's a song about that. To everything, turn, turn, turn. Well, that feels like my sources. And then when you come to the God that says, we're killing the firstborn, this is a God of wrath, we're going to get over you. That is not those sources. That's another source. It's another source that's wanting to create fear and wanting to control you by fear. And if you really go deeply into this, you will see that throughout history, there's an agenda. Now, if we go to Carla Ruckert. Now, Carla Ruckert has been one of my sources of study that has put pieces of the puzzle together for me. And she channeled a voice that said it was Ra, the Ra group. And my indication showed that both Edgar Cayce and David Wilcock channeled the Ra group. And that the Ra group has been doing interventions, and it's one of the principal sources that has been responsible for the creation of religions and spiritual movements from the positive side. And they have talked to people throughout history. And oftentimes when they did that, in their track, negative forces would come in and steal the line and start talking to somebody and say that they were the same intelligence that was positive. So therefore, you get a beautiful energy that can bring the words through for that psalm to everything. There is a season. And down the road, the same energy is saying, kill the firstborn. And down the road, it's coming through Jesus and it's saying beautiful things. And down the road, you have the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation has every earmark of being from a negative trickster source. And if you're a Bible person and you believe every word in the Bible, you might study the Bible really carefully, and you'll find that it's put together by many, many people. It's gone through different editing sessions, including the Council of Nicaea, 300 years after Jesus, which some people would say initially Rome was not into Jesus, but when they saw he was getting so popular, they decided to get on the bandwagon, and so they totally edited it so it could be used as a tool to control people instead of enlighten them. And if you look up, which I researched a little bit, the Book of Revelations, let's see if I can find these things I marked off quickly. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. The book is filled with prophecies of things to come, destruction, of plagues, of antichrists, of many, many, many things that are scary. And if you read it and you think these are those times, the only thing logical response is fear. And if Jesus said these things and you could really peg them on him, then you'd say this must be real. Now I had all these little sections of the book of Revelations where it just shows what a fearful tract this is. Now, that doesn't mean that there might be some place in here where it's real, because with channeling, you can go back and forth. It's like the voice, the source of the voice can change. But in general, I have not seen too much positive here. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But I'll give you an example of, in the Old Testament, what has to be a negative force saying it's God. And if you've read the Old Testament, you might be familiar with this tract. And if you haven't, it has to do with this woman, Jezebel, who was worshiping, she was the wife of the king, and worshiping the god Baal, B-A-A-L. And trying to convert the Hebrews to worship Baal, because the Hebrews were worshiping Yahweh. And there was a prophet at the time, Elijah. And Elijah was trying to protect the Hebrews from being taken over by the influence of Baal. And Jezebel and Elijah were kind of enemies, although they never met each other. He took it as his personal mission to make sure the Hebrews stayed true to the real God, Yahweh. And so they had a showdown. The Baal king sent all his best priests who were representing Baal to meet with the best priests who were representing Yahweh, and they met. And I think the way it went was there was this something they were supposed to set on fire. And whoever had the real God would set this piece of wood, I can't remember what it was, some object on fire. It would catch fire. And so the Baal guys were not being successful. They were doing their incantations. And then Elijah steps to the plate and called on his God, and lightning came down, and the fire started. At which point, all the Baal prophets were fairly intimidated and in awe. And what did Elijah do? God told him to kill all the Baal prophets. So according to the Old Testament, he slaughtered 400 of the, not the prophets, their priests. And then what happened was he became a wanted man because Jezebel said she was going to kill him. And he disappeared. He went on the road, ran. He was scared. Of course, you would say, if he was really who he said he was, why would he worry? Well, Yahweh is not one of our sources, okay? In fact, we've asked questions about that, and they say Yahweh was a bit of a renegade and was turned negative. And he was the God of the Old Testament. He was the voice that would come through and be the God of fear, of wrath, of subjugation, of follow me, give up your power. And so what do we have here? We have two negative forces each vying for control, and the one that won was not necessarily God. It was this high negative force. And when I look to say, who wrote the book of Revelations? And, you know, I'm doing this call tonight. I don't usually do calls like this. This is a very unusual call. It's a little bit scholarly. I'm trying to make points. But we are in a changing time right now. And it's my take that those negative forces are trying to make the book of Revelations come true. And the more fear they can create, the more chance they have, because it was all a plot to create this period of time. They can create over long periods of time. And when I looked about the book of Revelations, and found out that it was a guy that had a vision who wrote the book. And he had this vision. There was some controversy of who he was, and so he was John Elder. didn't come directly from Jesus talking to his disciples and then writing it down. It was a guy that had a vision, and then he sent his vision to seven different churches, and it got included in the Bible. And in his vision, he said it was Jesus talking to him. And as we're seeing now, there is no way that he could know if it was Jesus or a negative source. You know, if it wasn't for the internet, if it wasn't for my ability to cross-reference huge amounts of things, I would be stymied to figure all this out. I don't know if I could. How could you decide what's negative and what's positive? How could, you know, I wouldn't even, I mean, if somebody told me Terry was the reincarnation of St. Catherine, I could have never looked to find her picture and to see if they look similar. Now, maybe I could have gone to a library. I could have spent a week thumbing through all these different books, and maybe I would have found that picture, and maybe I wouldn't have. But the internet has made it possible to do so much research so fast, and it makes it possible for you to check me out, because things I say, many of them can be validated. You know, I quoted Carla Rucker, llresearch.org, llresearch.org, and she has a huge website. She posts a lot of her channelings, and again, with channeled material, it's not to believe it. It has to work for you. It has to bring you wisdom. It has to give you something that you can add to your life other than believing in something, because that is a waste of time. And so the Book of Revelations came from somebody who channeled something that said it was Jesus. And my contention is that it wasn't. It was a negative source. And today, look at all the people that are running around talking about that. Now, some of you have heard of the word Illuminati. Some of you have heard the word negative elite. Well, these are very important things to be aware of, not to focus on, but to be aware. Because what we find is if we are to believe Carla Ruckert's raw material, and I highly recommend everyone read that. It's very complicated, not easy to understand, but after you hear this stuff, it might resonate. If you look at the raw material says that there is a group in another dimension that is bent on planetary conquest. They call themselves the Orions. I do believe it's connected to what David Icke calls the reptilians. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure. And the Orions are very technologically advanced, and they're very high in the chakra system, except for their heart chakra. They have a lot of psychic powers, and they can project thoughts into people, and that the principal way of taking over a planetary population, conquering a planet, is not going in with weapons or guns and doing it that way, because they're smart enough to understand karma, I'm sure. And doing it that way is a way that they might get karma. But they project thoughts into the elite and start talking to them and make them think they are God and take control of the leadership. And those groups that we call the Illuminati, which are the most powerful people on our planet, financially, almost every president has been in that. They have secret meetings. there's all kinds of stuff on the internet. And if you want to know about it, just look up that word and keep reading through. But remember, don't get afraid. If the power we're working with here is higher than that power, but most people don't tap into that. So they pick up, if we imagine, I'm not sure this is true, but I'm just hypothesizing, that this group has set up long-term plans because they're in another dimension, so time works differently for them. They can set up long-term plans. So they can set up talking to someone. What Carlo Ruckert said is when they're channeling to a negatively disposed person in this realm, and you could call that service to self, when they're doing that, they will just say, we can give you power, we can do all this stuff for you, and it becomes the essence of devil worship. And when they're channeling to a positive person, a service to others, they trick them, and that they make them feel important in terms of delivering messages of doom and gloom. And so, therefore, the Book of Revelation totally fits the profile of an Orion transmission of doom and gloom to create fear. And that those sources today, who we would call the Illuminati or the negative elite, in their own quarters, they're worshiping the negative. Now, that might be Lucifer, but who is Lucifer? Who did Jesus mean by the devil? I believe that this is the source. And, of course, I don't know if he understood that in his time, but even if he did, he could never say it. No one would understand it. We got a bunch of guys in spaceships that can channel through people, and they're going to mimic the positive. Now, so it's easy to just say the devil and make people be very careful. People will come in my name, but they won't be me. He gave all these kinds of speculations, warnings, ways to check it out. And yet, millions and millions of people are believing in that book right now and thinking this is the way it has to be. If you listen to our sources, if you come into our channelings, they say that any prophecy, there's no prophecy that's locked in stone. Things can look a certain way at a given time, and based on our consciousness, we have the ability with them together to cause things to shift. And if enough things shift, the entire planet will shift into our loving space. And we do conference calls 3 times a week, particularly our Sunday call, which is totally focused on shifting things, on changing things. And why do things shift? Is it because those guys like us and they change things? No. They're us. We're them. They can help. We help each other. It's all one energy. When you become that one energy, it becomes very powerful. Each of us by ourselves has a little bit of energy. But when we combine and create a group energy, then that huge energy is a miracle-making machine. And their criteria is honoring free will and for the highest good of all concerned. And if I talk about all these, what sounds like bad guys here on the planet, and again, we're not supposed to judge them. If you judge them, you're polarizing with them. You have to notice they're there and find an area where you can create positively. Because if you polarize against them, you lose your connection to the higher forces. You now become embattled in a war in this realm. and they have the power. So you'll probably lose, as we have in most cases. When we come together as a group and a team and create a group consciousness, and we add to our group consciousnesses these millions and billions of high, positively disposed souls, you know, one of the readings, and again, I quote a reading, it doesn't mean it's true, but in one of the readings they said there's 10 times more of the positive in other realms than there is of the negative. And essentially, there's a huge edge that this planet has if it connects to the positive and invokes all that energy for transformation. 10 times more energy than the negative. But the positive honors free will. The negative doesn't. It does everything it can to trick you, enslave you, lie to you, get you so that you give it its energy, and create fear so you give it its energy. It's been so hard to transform planet Earth because the negative has so much influence in the way that it controls things down here. I hope that those of you that are listening will really take the time to investigate more of my work. If you want to come into my conference calls, I have a schedule posted, conference.messageaday.net. And on these calls, there's huge amounts of great information. There's live conversations with the guys I'm talking about, which I believe are very positive, uplifting, helpful, and informative. And conference.messageaday.net. And our most important call is Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, we have the same format every week, but there is this incredible energy on the line, an incredible loving energy, which people can feel. And it comes in through your body in a way that if you've never felt it, it's hard to explain. And when you feel it, you know that it occurred. It's like you come onto the call, and many people have sent me emails. Not only have they had miracles, their depressions lift, they start feeling more centered, they don't feel alone, they feel connected, they feel sometimes people have miracles, sometimes they have healings, and this is not a religion. This is nothing to worship. This is something to kick the tires and kick the tires and kick the tires. And either I'm one hell of a loony guy or I've got it right. And you have to figure it out by applying yourself. The fact that you're listening right now means you have the chance to apply yourself. This is a fairly rare and unusual thing we're doing. And it's not like other things, although people tend to put things like other things to make them familiar. This is not familiar. And there's so many people that have emailed me telling me that they've experienced these transformations on the line. Oftentimes, I don't even know them. We don't charge for these calls. We don't charge not because I don't need money, because I do, but because it's my conviction that why would you pay for something that you don't even know what it is? You haven't experienced it. People give us donations, and anyone that wants to support our work, wants us to reach more people, go to donations.messageaday.net, donations.messageaday.net, or donationbox.com. No, donationbox.com. .net, and it helps us because this is the only way it's going to get out to people because we're not charging. And why do I charge? Because I don't want to be controlled by money, and I don't want to turn this into a business to get more people to come to a call. You know, occasionally I give a workshop, occasionally I do something, and some of you have noticed I say a suggested donation of $3, $5, but put in your own amount. You know what? it creates a relationship of gratitude between us. It creates a relationship where I appreciate you and you appreciate me. It doesn't put me above you. You are creating me by your donations. If nobody donated, I figure no one cares. Why bother doing this? But I do know people care. And I do know we are making a difference for a small group of people. Sometimes people think we're reaching lots and lots of people. I would say we're reaching hundreds of people, hundreds, a few hundred. And yet it could reach thousands, and it could reach millions. And that, if it did, this planet would shift. And if it does reach those many people, it's going to happen because of... Of course, I am always making efforts to reach more people. Some of you are here because I ran an advertisement. Some of you are here because I gave a book away for free. Some of you saw an advertisement on Google, and I pay for those things. And you've gotten years of support, and very rarely do I absolutely say, here's something for sale. Now that I said that, I'll say, here's something for sale. You know, I do have a workshop that elaborates on some of the things I've been talking about. It's a four-hour workshop. It was one of the most amazing workshops I ever did. And I remember when I did it, I was scared when I did it. I was a little scared tonight about doing this talk because I don't really like to go against people's sacred cows. Of course, the Bible is a sacred cow. But there's so much chance for so many people to be in fear, and it's artificially created. And I wanted to put something on record. And if this makes sense to you, then do feel free. You know, we'll have an audio and a transcript of it sometime this week. Share it with other people. Because you're not going to get somebody that's a fundamentalist, everything in the Bible is accurate just per se. They're not going to change their minds, unlikely. But there's so many people that are wondering, that are in between. You know, there's so many people that conventional religion is not working for, and people are not believing in it, and it sounds like fairy tales. If it does work for you, if it brings you closer to the higher forces, if it brings you joy, if you can feel the energies of higher realms, then it's working and you don't need this. But if it's making you feel superior, if it's making you look down on other people, if you're not finding the kingdom of heaven, of God that's inside of you, and you're looking at some of the guys that have been accused of sex crimes that are ministers, and you may be caught in the control mechanism of religion, because in many religions, at the core of it, there is a control mechanism. There are people channeling the negative. You know, I speak about this very confidently, and I'll share with you one of the things in the course of the history of these calls that happened where I had a direct experience of that. And this was a few years ago. We were doing calls, and unbeknownst to me, one of the people coming into the calls said they were channeling the Elohim, and they started talking to her after she came in on these calls, and that she was supposed to prove herself to me. And the way they asked her to prove herself was to invite the people that were coming into the calls to her own private call, and where they were going to talk to her, and that it would be very important after a period of time that they would all know she was channeling the Elohim and that I could trust her. Well, this went on for 2 months, and I never heard about it until finally somebody mentioned it to me. And now I didn't immediately draw conclusions or condemn the woman or know anything. But at that time, I did do a private channeling with both Daphne and Terry separately. And I asked them, could you tell me about this situation? And the answer was, they said, it's not us. It's a negative force trying to steal your line, and you need to do damage control. Both events are the same thing. And I did. And I corrected it. And I said, geez, this must be what I'm reading about. Another time, I had met, and I'm not going to say the religion, I'm not going to give the details, but I had met the wife of the former wife of a leader of a major religion. And she divorced her husband. And the reason she divorced her husband was because she was a channel. And she decided that what she was doing was negative. She didn't want to do it anymore. She told me every person who was at the head of this religion had a wife who was channeling what she considered to be the negative. And now you can see how tricky this is, the negative, which I'm going to assume it's these space guys that are trying to take over our planet, are effective in screwing up an entire religion, okay? And if you ever read David Icke, and I'm not saying I believe everything David Icke says, but he has book after book about how he calls them the reptilians have been in control of our planet. And he says the Freemasons, you know when you were in school, remember how the kings and queens who ruled by divine right? That's it, okay? That's the negative. Let me see if I just pick. They have rituals. There's so much stuff on the internet. And I don't often tell people, go look at this, go look at that, because it can be scary to realize how much of the influence of that there is. What I do tell people to do is come into our Sunday conference calls, because each of us who learns how to pick up the frequencies of these higher realms is making a huge shift in this realm. And it's hard to believe how important that is. Hard to believe it. Hard for me to believe. It's just taken me watching it over years now to get the feeling for it. And I say, you know, I think this is real. And you have to check it out for yourself. Again, I'll give you the website for the call, conference.messageaday.net, conference.messageaday.net. And this call you're on right now, we do it every Monday. If you've got the schedule, if I send it to you, and I'm saying this because we have new people who have downloaded the Creator God book, and they're on this call today, and for the first time. That's why I did so much background information. And this is really important to understand. Let me see here. I don't see a good place from David. I'm looking at David Icke's book, The Biggest Secret, the book that will change the world. David Icke's most powerful and explosive book to date includes the astonishing background, The Murder of Diana, Princess Wales. See, what happens is, if you guys notice, people who are artists who get very influential and who can't be controlled get knocked off. Every one or most of those guys understand. They may not understand it in all the ways I've explained it tonight, but they understand the negative because the system is controlled by the negative. The movies are controlled by the negative. The media is controlled by the negative. And if you get too famous, you become a threat. You're gone. And look at John Lennon, Jimi Hendrix, Princess Diana, John Kennedy. You know, John Kennedy was not playing by the rules. And there's a number of ways where he was not doing that. And most definitely, it was a no accident in the way that he got knocked off. So, Terry, are you on the line? I don't hear you. Did you come in as a moderator?
Yes, I am.
Now I hear you. Okay. So I've gone a long time tonight. What's that, Terry?
I'm on BBS.
Oh, you're on BBS now? Okay. Now, I know you've been holding the energy, and I told Terry that I wasn't going to have her channel. And we really don't need to do a channeling tonight because it's pretty complete in of itself. But unless they're sitting there and they want to make any comments, I'm not going to ask them to validate and confirm anything I've said because I don't want them to go on record doing that. I'll take the hit on the controversy here. But if they want to make any comments, I can leave the space for that about anything.
Not tonight? Yeah.
Okay, so we're not going to do a challenge tonight. Usually, every Monday we do, and we ask questions. And if you're intrigued with the work we're doing, you don't have to believe anything. Just show up. Try showing up for a few weeks to our calls. Conference.messageaday.net has got the schedule. Show up for a few weeks. And most people that do that become less afraid. They become more relaxed, and many of them start having little synchronicities and miracles. And, you know, I think one of the things that everyone can get out of these calls is the real way, what I believe to be the way the universe works, where you really don't die. Your body dies, your energy continues. And the one thing is you do not want to die being totally scared shitless, because then your energy continues in a worse place. So if you're scared of dying and you know you don't die, that's a really big step. And coming into these calls regularly, I think, is pretty convincing after a while. And I think he's right. If you start to feel your energy, you start to feel not just like your body, you start to feel the energy of your soul, and you will have a better future life, lifetimes, when you have that experience. And you see, I can say that, and then I'm not going to say, we're doing this workshop, and it's $100, and have better future lifetimes. But I will tell you, I mentioned that workshop, the Egyptian Connection, where I spent 4 hours going into great detail about the origins of Jesus and the Old Testament in Egypt, where that came from, the parts that I played, the part that David Wilcock played. And if you want to download it, it's 4 hours. The web price is $19. Egypt.messageaday.net. Egypt.messageaday.net. If anyone can't afford it, email me, tell me how much you can afford. If you want it for nothing, tell me. But realize.
Win.
Yeah, I think we can stop the recording.
Okay, I paused it, all right.
Yeah. I couldn't do it because you started it and it wouldn't let me do it. So.
All of a sudden I heard your voice twice. I think, what the heck?
It was the real voice. Well, the real wind's talking. So, you know what? I just unmuted everybody. I hope that was interesting. Was that interesting? Yes, it was. Wynn?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very good. Very nice. Very good.
Thank you. You know, at the time we did this, you know, we were using a different website address. But all those links still work. But Egypt.intelligent-infinity.com talks about the Egyptian workshop. And also, French.intelligent-infinity.com has the conference call stuff, and Intelligent Infinity, intelligent-infinity.com has lots of interesting things in it. So, what time is it? It's 7:50, and we're just in time. We went a long time, but luckily BBS had it today. And we'll say good night to everybody, and thank you all for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Wynn, you rock, man.
All right.